table last time, we considered the challenging command in Ephesians 5 to walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. And I've been, as it were, spending some time in Ephesians, and we see in Ephesians, those first three chapters, the doctrines of grace unpacked wonderfully, and then from chapter 4 onwards, the practical application to the lives of God's people. And that's where we see so much challenge. And I thought tonight I would then help us to focus our thoughts on giving thanks. I thought it's prayer meeting. It's an obvious next step from that chapter. But mistakenly I thought this would be a simple exhortation. As so often when one starts on a Bible study or devotion, you begin to realise you're getting into deeper water than you originally thought. So listen to the verse I had in mind. Do not be drunk with wine. This is Ephesians 5 verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Always, in all things. When I meditated on this verse, I realised that we at once are being challenged by God's word to confront the fact that some of these supernatural commands are totally outside of natural human fallen heart. And that verse reminds us it's down to that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives if we're ever going to show this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We noted these last time these exhortations in these chapters, including forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us, loving one another as Christ has loved us, forbearing with one another, being thankful. These are all fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but at the same time come to us as commands. And we mentioned last time there's a tension there, as so often in Scripture, a tension between the fact that we are being commanded to love one another, to be forbearing with one another, and yet at the same time telling us that these are fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we see this tension very clearly in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if that's all Scripture said, what a desperate state we'd be in. Work out your own salvation. That's clear. We're being told what to do with fear and trembling. It doesn't end there, does it? For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're going to read some excerpts from chapters 4 and 5. We haven't got time really to read all of it. It would be nice to, but perhaps you might like to at home. And I want to, as we go through, just take note in your mind of the relationship between these commands and the exhortations and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, being filled with the Spirit. So Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 1 to start with. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Then on to verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Then verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So I felt this evening I must just touch briefly on the being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this is a huge subject. Martin Lloyd-Jones proved that. So I'm just going to try and do it in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, just touch on it and bring home some thoughts. You may want to go away, you may disagree with me, but study the scripture and come to your conclusions. I believe in these chapters, when Paul is talking of the filling of the Spirit, he's not talking about those special seasons of refreshing, as in times of revival, or the special equipping of a saint for a special task, but the normal day-to-day life of every believer. If we were to ask Paul, how can we live the Christian life? He would say, be filled with the Spirit. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? How can I be filled with the Spirit? This is a big subject. So now for these are just a few thoughts and not a Bible study. Maybe next time we can get on to giving thanks always in every situation. In the context of the contrast with being drunk with alcohol, it is easy in these days to superficially think of the filling of the Spirit as some form of emotional gift, some form of spiritual ecstasy tablet that we can take just to give us a high spiritually. We must be clear then that the fullness of the Spirit refers not to some vague spiritual power, but to the indwelling of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, in us as temples or shrines of the person of God, the Holy Spirit. Among evangelicals, there is a spectrum of views about the gifts of the Spirit in believers, but the New Testament is very clear that what is of prime importance is the fruit of the Spirit in a believer's life. The godly Robert Murray McChain said, "It is not great talents or gifts that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus Christ." So just a few brief points about the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, not in any specific order. I realise some may have varying viewpoints on these, but I hope the thrust of what I'm saying will be helpful. I believe we are filled with the Spirit at conversion. Martin Lloyd-Jones would not agree with me on that. The person of God the Holy Spirit makes us his dwelling place. Ephesians 1 verse 13, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Galatians 4, 4 to 6, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. And in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22, who has also put his seal on us and given his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, these are just a few references. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I believe then that this isn't a second blessing that makes some Christians super Christians. And I'm not being sarcastic there, but that's so easily a concept that we can easily have these days. The command then, be filled with the Spirit, is a plural command that applies to every Christian. It is a passive command. In other words, let this happen to you. We can't fill ourselves with the Spirit. And it is a present command, which means you must let this happen to you continually. Go on being filled with the Spirit. A plural command, a passive command, and a present command. So following conversion, the Apostle Paul is saying, go on, letting yourselves be filled with the Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit and the normal Christian walk is really what I just want to focus on. I believe God's word shows us that the fullness of the indwelling presence of God the Holy Spirit in our lives should be the normal Christian life. The reality is that through our own carelessness, worldliness, and at times God's own sovereign purposes, we are often pleading for a fuller sense of God's indwelling presence. So what can we do then to enjoy the fullness of God's presence in our lives? We only need to listen to Jesus to understand. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus is telling us that the indwelling presence of God in our lives will generally be commensurate with our conformity to his word. Jesus is telling us that the indwelling presence of God in our lives will generally be commensurate with our conformity to his word. Spiritual fullness then is discovered on the path of obedience, and the path of obedience is obedience to God's word. So how can I be filled with the Spirit in an ongoing, consistent way? Well, there is a parallel passage in Colossians that makes this link clear, where Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It is as the word of God dwells in us richly that the Spirit of God consistently and continually fills us. Our lives will then bear the fruit of the Spirit, including that joy that overflows in praise and thanksgiving to God, always and in all things. I'll repeat that. It is as the word of God dwells in us richly that the Spirit of God consistently and continually fills us. Our minds are transformed by truth, by the truth of God's word. Our hearts are then stirred by the teaching of God's word, and our wills are subdued by the consistent explanation of God's word. Our minds are transformed, our hearts stirred, and our wills subdued by the indwelling richness of God's word. By way of example, and this may seem a little bit trite, but it just will help us to just focus in. By way of example, if we considered the short statement we had last time, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savour, or make that personal, and walk in love as Christ also has loved me and given himself for me, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling favour. So as God the Holy Spirit reveals to me the awesomeness of this amazing grace and assures me personally that it applies for me, is not my mind informed and overwhelmed by this great truth? Is not our heart stirred with love and gratitude for amazing mercy? Paul's heart overflowed in Ephesians 3, where he was talking about the height and depth and length and width of God's love. And are not also our wills then moulded so that with God's grace we hear this likeness, we bear this likeness to Christ in our lives? So I want us to just grasp that the indwelling richness of God's word in our hearts on a day-to-day basis is the very basis on which we'll know the fullness of the Spirit day by day as a consistent, continual experience in our lives. In the context of our verse tonight, we might ask, how do you get drunk? Do not be drunk with wine. You drink and drink and drink until the element that you have drunk takes control. Bear in mind, this doesn't refer to alcohol. How do you get filled with the Spirit? You go to the giver and drink and drink and drink at the means of grace. Jesus said, if any man thirst, then let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me out of his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit which those that believe on him should receive. Consistently then we drink in prayer, in the study of the word, in Christian fellowship, the breaking of bread, devotional life together, and indeed all the means of grace that God has given us. Whilst we are passive concerning the filling of the Spirit, we must be active in our drinking at the means of grace. So as we richly embrace God's word, the Holy Spirit uses it to renew our hearts and minds. That verse we consider this evening also reminds us that the immediate impact of such a walk with God in Christ through the Spirit is in the fellowship and worship of God's people. First in our worship of God, but also horizontally in our encouraging and admonishing one in the things of God, in psalms and spiritual songs, and submitting to one another. So I hope that's just brought home to us the fact that we don't need to just think of the filling of the Spirit as some supernatural occasional experience. It should be the norm for our lives if we are the Word of God is dwelling in us day to day. But we have just got one warning in that chapter. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. As we begin to really grasp the fact that we are the temple, the shrine of the person of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us, it should really challenge us to just what we're doing with our eyes, our ears, our time, because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us and he's holy, and we can grieve him, this passage tells us, and we can lose the joy and the felt power of his presence. You may just know that passage in Corinthians where Paul's talking about Christians, if it's possible, making themselves one with a harlot. He's saying, how can you? You're God dwelling in you, how can you do that? In conclusion, so the message clearly is this: it is no good us looking at these exhortations and these chapters and thinking, I can achieve this with a lot more effort. Our focus must shift to ensuring that the Word of God is dwelling richly in us, in all wisdom, and daily drinking at the fountainhead, seeking God's Spirit to captivate our hearts, souls, and minds. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. One hymn writer says, come, Holy Spirit, like a dove descending, rest now upon us while we meet to pray. Show us the Saviour, his great love revealing, lead us to him, the life, the truth, the way. Come, Holy Spirit, every cloud dispelling, fill us with gladness through the Master's name. Bring to our memory words that he has spoken, then shall our tongues his wondrous grace proclaim. Come, Holy Spirit, sent from God the Father, true friend and teacher, comforter and guide, our thoughts directing, keep us close to Jesus, and in our hearts forevermore abide. Gracious God and loving Father, as we consider this challenging passage, Lord, we realise just how carelessly and worldly and so many worldly ways, Lord, we live our daily lives and then mourn, Lord, that we're not knowing something of the power of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to realise, Almighty God, that you want to dwell in our hearts. You're longing to be part of our day-to-day life. So, Lord, help us daily to ensure that the Word of God is dwelling richly in our hearts and that we may daily wait upon the means of grace and know the presence, Lord, of you, the Holy Spirit, being our companion, revealing Christ to us day by day. We ask this in Jesus' name.